tenía que currarlo como un buen cubano que sabe lo que quiere. A pesar de que era un nene, seguí luchando con ahínco.
Welcome back. This is Manuel Criollo with the 4 o'clock segment here on KPFK. You know, our regular co-host Eric Mann and Damon Azali are, you know, out fighting the empire today, so I sort of sat in with them today for them. You know, on the phone we have a very good friend of mine, actually Joel Tena, who you know, lives in Oakland and has been very involved in the solidarity work inside Venezuela through the Venezuelan Solidarity Group. And also he actually works for Joel, who do you work for out in Oakland?
I work for a council member in the city of Oakland. So I actually have a perspective of working both within the government and working working against the government, but not local government, working against what many would consider our flawed foreign policy here in the United States in various ways, against the Cuban blockade and now against what we perceive as almost direct foreign intervention in Venezuelan sovereign affairs with the coup in 2002 and the continued pressure against the Venezuelan people to fall in line with neoliberal U.S. policies on economics and other foreign policy issues.
Joel, can you describe for the folks out there what this work looks like out on the ground here? I mean, what's the work of the Venezuelan Solidarity Group?
Well, the work of the Venezuelan Solidarity Group is work that's kind of been built upon over the years through many of the anti-imperialist struggles here in the Bay Area, especially during the 80s, during the civil wars in El Salvador and Guatemala and Nicaragua, for instance. I think who said it best was one of our members when we were down in Venezuela 2 years ago. We were being interviewed by this group while we were down there, and they were all very curious because none of the people who we went down with, it was our first delegation that we went right after the coup of April 2002. We went there to get a first-hand look about what's going on. And they asked us, they said, so none of you guys are Venezuelan, correct? And we're like, no, and none of us are Venezuelan. And so they asked, so why Venezuela? Why do you feel it's important to come down here and learn about what's going on and develop solidarity networks? And that's a good question. And one of our colleagues, she's Salvadoran, and she said, which I'm sure you can relate to, she said, you know, my people in the United States are here because of the civil wars that went on in Central America in the 80s. They're here because of direct U.S. intervention during the 80s. My government right now has perpetuated foreign policy in Latin America, which has caused a mass migration of folks to have to come up here to seek not just food, clothing, and shelter, but also safety away from the death squads that have been pushed upon Latin America by U.S. Special interests. Said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that people's voices are heard in the world and that Venezuela is allowed to exist without intervention from the United States. And I'm going to do what I can against my own government to ensure that that takes place.
Joel, can you describe some of the delegations? How many delegations have you taken down to Venezuela? I mean, I think that's good describing who has gone. You know, would also help the public, and you know, what's the process of hooking up with folks that want to do this kind of work with Venezuela?
Well, when we first started talking about going on a delegation, it had been out of kind of so many experiences that we have done in our Cuba solidarity work here in the Bay Area. A lot of us were former members of the Venceremos Brigade, which is a Cuba solidarity group that every year for the past 35 years has been sending solidarity delegations to Cuba. So we thought, you know, let's sit down and learn about what's going on there and have some study groups and some discussions about what's going on there in the process. But at the same time, let's also talk about, you know, what can we do to learn more. So we thought about going down there, and we actually made contact with an individual who came to one of our meetings who said, you know, I know a few people who I think you guys might want to talk to when you're down there. Well, it turns out this guy knew more than a few people. He knew so many people on so many different levels, everybody from government officials to community activists and organizers. And when we went, we were blown away by who we met, people who were really building a grassroots struggle to really empower folks at the grassroots level and really building community from the bottom up. And we've gone back 4 times since, and we plan on having another delegation. We were going to do it this August, but unfortunately because of the constraints that our host would have down in Venezuela, because of the referendum that's taking place right now, we've decided to postpone it till September. But we've gone, like I said, a couple times every year, and we are actually having a report back. We had some folks that went down for a big solidarity conference last month, and they're going to be giving a report back on what they learned in Venezuela, and that's going to take place tomorrow night here in Oakland City Hall, actually.
Well, you know, I opened up the show talking about, you know, a couple of things. You know, on one level, you know, I'm, you know, not that I feel discouraged, but just the power of the U.S. In particular for the third world, and I would say, in general, in Latin America, is just so behemoth. And why do you think that inside the United States, what has dropped the activity level that as you described, you know, if we look at the Venceremos brigades of the, you know, late 60s and 70s, which, you know, we had hundreds of people very active in that solidarity movement. I mean, still very active, but, you know, obviously, at a much smaller pace at this moment. Or, you know, you described, you know, the work of, like, CISPES in the 80s, where they did have sort of a mass-based movement that was sort of the third front. What's preventing that at this moment in history, for particularly here inside the United States?
I think there's a very much a disconnect of people throughout the world, especially in this country, especially a disconnect between what we have here, resources, and what other people lack, and how much that might threaten our own livelihood if people in other countries decided to take more control over their own lives. I think people, unfortunately, tend to be a little bit more self-serving than we would all like ourselves to be and dream of ourselves to be. And so when we see the prices at the pump going up over $2 a gallon, you have people who are screaming in the streets that we got to do something about it. And, you know, on one extreme, you have people who are saying, you know, prices are going over the top. Let's drill in the Arctic oil field.
Right.
And on the other hand, you have people who, I mean, nobody's ever, I don't think, said it blatantly, but I mean, there's only one reason why we're in Iraq right now, and it's not to depose Saddam Hussein, it's for their oil. And so I think that that has a lot to do with the fact that we can close our eyes and just believe that a military that's made up of mostly poor folks of color will take care of the dirty work, while most of middle-class white America can lounge in their air-conditioned houses, and as long as they don't have to pay more than $2 a gallon for oil, they're not going to really be outraged. It's unfortunate, but so much of that's the case. However, though, there are a lot of people out there who are organizing, and I think it is empowering to when you read the headlines of the San Francisco Chronicle today, where they're talking about they're estimating that a march against the Republican National Convention at the end of the month, they're estimating the size of that march being about 250,000 people. I mean, I think that's truly amazing.
That's great.
I think that the fact that so many people are willing to take to the streets prior to the Iraq war, millions of people literally to call out foreign U.S. aggression against sovereign nations. You know, regardless of who's at the helm, no, I don't think anybody is an apologist for Saddam Hussein, but certainly nobody thinks that gives us an excuse to go into a sovereign country that has not attacked us and depose its leader and impose its own structure about what it thinks the government should be like. And I think that that's one of the reasons why, as people learn more about Venezuela, as people learn more about the participatory democracy and the land reform laws that have gone into place and the economic reforms, the literacy campaigns, I think people begin to realize that, you know what, this is truly a gem about how true social change could take place in a peaceful environment. And then we look at the bullying that the United States has done because of the fact that Venezuela sits upon the largest reserves of oil in the Western Hemisphere. And we realized that this is something that we cannot stand for. We cannot stand for another El Salvador, another Nicaragua, another Guatemala, more and more and more intervention in the United States on not on behalf of ordinary Americans. I mean, we're not talking about Al-Qaeda here. We're talking about a democratically elected leader who has, through through the grassroots movements that were already in place there, has helped to foster this huge social upheaval for the benefit of all Venezuelans. And that's what's really important. It's really a big distinction, because prior to Chavez's coming to power, the wealth that was being generated was really only going to a minority, and now it's going to the majority. And folks in the United States who have been learning more about it are really working to make that change happen and allow it to happen without U.S. interference.
Joel, how can folks get a hold of, you know, the Venezuelan Solidarity Group?
We're located, we have a listserv, and it would be great if people could sign up to the listserv. It's a Yahoo Group's listserv. So go to, if you send us an email to our own email address, it's Venezuela Solidarity, all one word, at hotmail.com, Venezuela Solidarity at hotmail.com, or subscribe to our listserv, and you can do that by writing a blank email to vsglist-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Repeat that one more time, Juan.
Venezuela, VSG, the letters VSG, list, hyphen, subscribe, at yahoogroups.com. And remember to support the folks who are taking to the streets on Monday, on Sunday the 15th and Monday the 16th, to ensure that democracy in Venezuela is respected.
Thank you, Joel, and I'd like to thank all my guests on today's show, and also thank my engineer, Maggie LaPique, and producer, Kristen Blosdell. And I also want to thank Demi Liu. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.